listening to the Best of the Patriots. Oh, yeah! A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Monday, and we are back at Gillette Stadium after a Patriots loss yesterday in extremely frustrating fashion. We will be joined by Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, momentarily here at Gillette Stadium. And then we'll talk to Boomer Esiason coming up at 8 on all things New England Patriots. And it was right there for you, Curtis. You talked about it at the start of the show. One that you still had a chance to win at the end of that football game. If Pop Douglas were focused on where he was and what he needed to do, then maybe you keep that drive alive. So,
and you and I have fun with Mac at the expense of Shime at times.
Yes, yes.
But what Mac Jones did yesterday is something we're waiting for Drake May to really do, which is take his team back in a fourth quarter in a consistent basis where there's not turnovers. And this team now, it's been three head coaches, 3-16 in their last 19 games in this building. 3-16 in their last 19 games at Gillette Stadium. That is horrific. That is all time. That is early 90s Patriots bad. And it's the people have changed. The GMs have changed. The coaches have changed. But the undisciplined play continues.
But when you look at Drake specifically, are you out on him fully? Because
no,
I look
at
those back-to-back games, and I'm fully in on Drake May. I feel very confident in him moving forward.
Well, I think you see flashes of what he can be. And we'll find out momentarily from the head coach all about that. Mike Vrabel is brought to you on a Patriots Monday by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. Hey, Coach.
Morning.
Frustrating to watch, so it must have been even more frustrating to coach that one yesterday.
Well, it's never frustrating to coach it. It's frustrating to watch it. You know, I mean, you're in the moment, and you're trying to, keep everybody together. You're trying to get some stops. You're trying to focus on the situation, so it's never frustrating to coach it. It's frustrating to watch it.
I'm sure happy with, at least from a perspective of those guys, not giving up, not getting frustrated by the turnover.
No, so, we can polish the turd however we want to. and just understand that, you got a 5% chance to win a game where you have that many turnovers. The average margin of victory in those instances is probably 18 points. And to think that we still had a chance. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. There's stuff that's very detrimental, obviously. And we have to, we got to correct it. And we have to be able to move on. But we have to be able to coach it and acknowledge it and then fix it.
First 5 turnover game for the New England Patriots since 2008, and I think you were playing in that game. I don't know if you remember it. That's a long time ago.
I don't. I'm pretty sure I didn't have one of them, which was probably a good thing.
Yeah, no, that is a good thing. Yes, absolutely a good thing.
Mike, take us through the operation, because we've been sitting here and we've been kind of discussing the Pop Douglas play. It looks like that they bring a blitz, and Drake May got to get the ball out hot. Looks like Pop could be running a little flat route. Is there something where he should have went a little bit deeper, or because of the blitz, it caught him in that position? What happened on that 4th-and-2 play?
Well, I think, I think we just have to make a great decision. We have to, in those vice tackle situations, we've talked all along about knifing, about knowing where the sticks are. We had a couple examples, especially last week. We had some examples yesterday. You probably just have to be able to knife and get what you need and know where you're at and be able to get to the sticks. I didn't Again, you just can't, you know, those are tough to try to circle those guys up in that situation.
But in that situation, did he not realize where he might have been on the field? Like, shouldn't he be thinking about that pre-snap? Okay, here's where the first down marker is, and this is where I need to get to.
I think we're close. We probably just need to get another revolution, and then if we're not, you know, if we stop, we have to be able to knife. We have to be able to get the yardage that we need. So, certainly want to be able to get to the sticks, and if we're not, and we got, you know, we're not matched, be able to sit down, which he did, and then during the, you know, being able to knife through the defender or get a half a yard.
I know after the game yesterday, when you were asked about Ramondre Stevenson, you said that you guys need to fix it when it comes to ball security. But this has been an issue for him under Bill, under Gerard, now under you. How do you fix something like that?
Well, it starts with everybody else. You know, I mean, it starts with him, but it also starts with the, you know, protecting the guy with the ball. And so we'll have to do a better job of that. If you look at, you know, the second guy coming in or somebody else is making a play or not finishing, certainly it's easy to look at the guy with the ball, and that has to be where it starts. And, you know, our technique, but it's also, you know, it's got to be put on everybody else to make sure that they're protecting the guy with the ball and that the guys aren't coming off of plays late and diving in there or, you know, trying to avoid those. You know, just as you can see, there's times where they can make the guy miss when you can see him, and then when it's the guy that you don't see. And we have to protect him from the guy that he can't see him and be able to block. So it goes on all of us. It goes on everybody out there, and then we'll keep repping it. And just unfortunate.
Three pass plays at the end of the half from the 2-yard line with three timeouts. Why?
Well, there was some called alerts, right? And I think just getting into a play that gives us the best chance. You know, they loaded us up pretty good. And it was, you know, and Drake canned it, you know, to one or had an alert for a run if we had a favorable look. And I didn't hate the calls. Again, certainly the execution has to be better. You know, knowing what we're going to get down there from them, having a good idea. Just as the same way as they came back and blitzed us on the other fumble, right? And so you want to make sure that you have bodies in there, that you have pieces in there, and that if they one-up you and they go with you know, a defense that brings, you know, blitz zero, that you have options. And again, we didn't execute down there. So, you know, we'll have to stay sound and try to predict what they're going to do and give everybody options, just like we did, you know, last week. We got the look that we wanted. We were able to plow it in there. And this week we weren't able to score.
I know you said on this show last week or the week before, penalties not a key indicator when it comes to winning or losing, but you sounded frustrating halftime-wise interview about the penalties on this team.
Well, it's the ones that, you know, again, that are third down, and you're not all penalties, right, are created equal. And so certainly the ones that are critical that extend drives or give them, you know, the ball, the technical errors. I think that you can be going hard and playing hard and have a mistake and jump off sides. And then the technique that doesn't get fixed is frustrating. You know, the technique that we choose and the things that they're looking for, I think that those are the things, again, the ones that extend drives on third down. We had a couple of those defensively. You know, and then there were times where I, you know, look at Carlton. I thought he played with good technique, good defense, and was looking and playing the football, and she chose to throw a penalty, and maybe we could agree or disagree, but we move on. It's just
how is that possible with the ball landing 5 yards out of bounds?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask them, too. I'm with you. That when I said four, I wrote four down, and you said five. I wrote 4 yards down. So, you know, again, I've heard that they use that big white stripe, that if it lands outside of that maybe it was uncatchable, but they didn't see it that way.
When was the last time we seen a pass interference where they actually said it was uncatchable? I feel like
just the Chiefs game.
Yeah, don't do it. But Mike, in the interception, you know, turnovers are always a killer, right? And especially when they lead to points or they take away points. the Drake May interception at the end of the half, should that have been a back pylon throw?
It shouldn't have been a flat one. You know what I mean? Obviously, mm-hmm. just having to, an idea of where that guy is and being able to put some air in it. You know, and I think that those are things we have to be able to see. And, again, get the spacing that we need and be able to keep it out of harm's way.
To end a half like that for Drake and come back out and not spiral, I think a lot of fans find that impressive from him, from a young quarterback. Do you see that the mental game is there for Drake, that if he has a bad pass, if he has an interception, that you don't see him spiral out there? He right. continues
and,
to fight.
And again, those are good qualities. We just can't keep testing it over and over and over again. But I do appreciate the resiliency of him and this football team and our ability to continue to fight and continue to stay in it and compete. It just has to be cleaner so that we're not always in that situation.
Can you coach pocket presence, or is that something that you either have or you don't?
I just think that you can do some drills and make sure that we're good with the football, and you have to be able to create a pocket to be able to work through and be able to transfer up into it and do it with ball security. And then once you get going, the journey's probably over, and we have to either get down and be okay to take a loss or be able to get rid of the football in times where it's loose. And again, there's opportunities for guys to finish. I don't know how long the guy is going to have the football. And that's why we say we have to finish longer than the guy with the ball. And there's a lot of examples of that and thinking that the play's over. And sometimes the play isn't over. So it's easy to say, well, you got to have better ball security. And it's going to be really easy for me to say we have to finish longer than the guy with the ball, because we didn't on numerous occasions.
Giant nuts on you going for it on fourth down early in that game.
Just trying to figure out ways to help us. And, we've done pretty well in short yardage lately. First week wasn't too good. Last 2 weeks have been good. So, feel good about some of these plays.
As a head coach, when you make that decision, is that to show confidence in your guys? Is that a part of the decision making for you?
I just think it's that we can get these, and that we have to have an attitude that we're going to be decisive and aggressive. And, we put a drive together, and then unfortunately it ends the way that it ended. I think it's a balance of where you're at in the game and trying to jumpstart it and let these guys take ownership of it.
Mike, I saw this stat when I was watching the game. I don't know how accurate it was, but they said that you guys are the fourth youngest team in the NFL. Does that attribute to maybe some of the close games that you have when you come out on the wrong end of that? Or just guys maybe not having enough experience of situational football under their belt yet?
We better be used to it. The whole league is this how it's going to be every week.
Mm-hmm.
So take your heart pills and be good in situational football.
Mike, you just got here for all this, but the last 19 games in this building, the Patriots have won 3.
Yeah, I know. That we have to start winning some games here. And we have to give our fans a reason to get behind us. It's got to be an advantage. I'm not going to start figuring out why. I mean, I have quick answers from yesterday, but we have to, that's the formula. You have to win games at home, and you have to steal a couple on the road. And we did last week in a division game. And, it'll be a good week to get back here and get a win at home.
I know it's turnovers obviously kill you, but is there anything positive to take away when you have 5 turnovers and you still have a chance to win the football game?
Yeah, I think that you're disappointed. You're not discouraged, that you have to stay hopeful and understand that a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot of good third down conversions. There's a lot of good runs, a lot of good defense. When we settled down, a lot of 3 and outs, 3 3 and outs. I mean, they gained, 80 yards after the first 2. They really had 3 drives, and I thought we tackled better. There was still some missed tackles, but we got off the field on third down for most of the game. I felt like the defense just said, wherever the ball is, we're going to go play defense, and we don't care. And they did that, and I give them credit. you know, not very good in the red zone, obviously, on either side of the ball. So that'll, again, be a huge emphasis this week.
From listening to you this morning, yesterday, weeks past that you've been on, it's very clear where you stand on penalties. Obviously, there are different types of penalties that a team faces, but undisciplined has been a word that's come up when it comes to this team. Do you feel like you have an undisciplined team? And if you do, how do you, as a head coach, fix it?
I don't know necessarily define undisciplined. You know, I mean, are we the second guy? Are we throwing punches? I don't think we're the second guy in. I don't think we're, you know, again, we always are. In trying to improve our discipline, we worked on, you know, offensively the line of scrimmage, some of the movement that the defense was giving us last week. We worked on that. I thought that was better. Undisciplined and grabbing a tight end, and using poor technique. I don't know if that's undisciplined, not being very good.
Mike, one of the things that coming into the season I looked at is your running back room, and I think you have like three really good players there. And it's all about confidence, and we've seen some fumbles from Gibson and Stevenson, and, you know, some pass protection issues from Henderson. What's your confidence level in that group?
Well, we've also seen a lot of really big plays, too. Mm-hmm. So, got to take care of the football, and When we have a guy to protect, we have to be able to go and block him. But we've also seen a lot of big plays from that room, too. So it goes hand in hand. And when you lose, it sucks, and we don't realize that they made some big plays. And when you win, we'll tell everybody about the big plays. So my job is to focus on both of those, and actually the good, the bad, and the stuff that gets you beat. We know that the turnovers are going to get you beat. And missed blocks are got to get fixed, and then remind them of all the good stuff and breaking tackles and catching the ball and getting X plays and returning the kickoffs for 100 yards and all those other stuff.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to work at it, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. I really do.
All right.
No, great. No,
it was good seeing you Saturday.
No cayenne pepper shots today.
No.
Your hands are so smooth.
Yeah, no celebration.
You're blocking all the celebration. Block. Like,
no, it doesn't block. It's for catching.
It's smooth.
That's like they're for catching. That's why they never took me out of goal line.
Did you enjoy Saturday?
Oh, yeah. That was really nice. Yeah, that was well done. That was both of those guys. I told Jules before the game, I saw him as I was walking out. I said, hey, remember, halftime's only 13 minutes, okay? So if you have a speech. Halftime's only 13 minutes.
I was like, where's the
But it was really, I thought both of them did a really good job.
I thought they were going to stop playing music when Jules was giving his speech, like, you know, the Oscar.
Like the Oscar, the walk-off
like
music?
Though. He went a long time.
The lights back there flashing.
Yeah. He went a long time with his speech. It was a great one.
But he did, yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, okay. Parcells was quick. He was in and out.
That says a lot coming from you. Something went long.
Yeah. I might have done the same thing.
They'd have to start yours in the morning.
Yeah. Believe that.
All right. I don't think we'll have to worry about his speech. All right. Don't have to worry about Wiggy's
speech. No rain jacket for me.
All right. There he is, the head coach of the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel, on this show every Monday. And the conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance.
Contributor.
Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots, and we will be back and get leads underway next from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday.
High noon-ish here on Jones and Keith. It's a Patriots Monday. I and Eagle was struggling. I don't know how they didn't see that.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt wasn't any help?
No, most of the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, I and Eagle at one point teed him up for a TJ Watt sack, and he just like didn't say anything for like 30 seconds.
Line?
Yeah. But no, that was odd to me. Like, they had no clue that ball was out. First of all, it's Ramondre Stevenson. Anytime he's carrying, that thing should be on
ready.
The ground.
You should always be ready.
Second of all, just completely and totally lost. Had no clue what was going on.
No, that was a live ball.
But that's not
going to get on that.
Not the main issue coming out of the game yesterday, the broadcast, though I didn't love it. No, it's that the Patriots turn it over a bazillion times yesterday, 5-1 to be exact. I asked rhetorically, how do you lose a game where you're +9 in first downs, 26-17? You run more total plays, 22 of them, 71-49. You have 166 more total yards, 369
nice.
To 203. By virtue of that, you have more yards per play, 5.2 to 4.1. Every time they lined up, they got a yard plus versus every time Pittsburgh lined up. More passing yards, more rushing yards, fewer penalty yards. You were plus 7 minutes in time of possession. How do you lose?
All right.
Because you were undisciplined.
We saw it.
You couldn't hold on to the football. And some of that is a reflection, a lot of it is a reflection on the head coach. They're too sloppy. They continue to get penalized at a high rate. I know Vrabel doesn't care about that. They turn it over at a high rate. And this will be a big week for Vrabel. Does he send a message to Ramondre, who got to play? He didn't have a touch, but he got to play after his second fumble. He stayed in the game after the first fumble. I didn't have an issue with that. He got to play again after fumble number two on some pretty key plays down the stretch. Mm-hmm. He was out there. Mm-hmm. So will a message be sent to him? What about Pop Douglas? Somebody called earlier. Might have been Coach right off the top of the show. It's one thing to talk tough. It's another thing to act tough.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Vrabel acts tough with some of these players or if he continues to baby them.
Yeah.
Because so far it hasn't been good enough.
Well, even on the flip side, it's also one thing to talk smart, another thing to play smart. Like, they haven't been. They've had a bunch of penalties in all three of these games. The game they didn't turn it over is the game they win. So to oversimplify things, they just turned it over a million times. So anytime you were having any kind of drive going and or you were set up with great field position, because you know your defense, after a really slow start, they wake up, they have a stretch where they're getting Pittsburgh off the field, three and out punts, interceptions of their own. They had a nice stretch in the middle of the game, the defense did, but the offense couldn't take advantage of it because they had moved the ball and then turn it over. Like, five turnovers is nearly impossible to overcome. So it's the combination of digging yourself an early hole, you're down 14-0 before you can even really settle in. You turn the ball over five different times, and even with that, you've already turned the ball over four fumbles and a pick, and yet you have the ball down seven, and you're moving it down the field, and on fourth and one, your receiver runs a zero-yard route. And then to make up for it, he runs backwards.
Yeah.
So you're like,
And then laughs about it after
right.
the game.
Oh, yeah, then has a good chuckle about it. But that's what's amazing about it, and it goes to show you how there are so many teams in the NFL that aren't really separated by that much. And so the Steelers aren't very good. They're not. That's not a very good team at all. They carved up the first 2 weeks defensively.
You dominated that team yesterday.
Yeah.
Dominated them, and you still lost.
You gave it to them, and even then, last possession, you had the ball with a chance to go down the field and maybe force overtime, which you had no business being in.
No.
A game where you're that sloppy, and then the penalties were also a factor too, because the defense didn't play a perfect game. And we could all argue with the Carlton Davis penalty. It was still a penalty there. Or I'm sorry, they called it a penalty. I didn't love that one either. But there was enough dumb stuff early on in the game. So you start the game like fumble, penalties on defense. You're down 7-0. You're like, what was that? Like, that was a horrible start, like the Raider game, where the offense and the defense both get off to really bad starts right off the rip and at home. And you're like, what is this?
So that's how I feel about it. Eventually they adjusted. I guess credit to the coaching staff for adjusting. They sat Ellis down. They got Gibbons in there. And they eventually adjusted and started limiting Pittsburgh on the ground. Were they ready to go?
They did not appear to be.
Pittsburgh gashed the crap out of them to start the game. So what were you looking at all week? What were you doing all week? And I do a lot of questions for Vrabel coming out of the game. I don't feel as good about the quarterback as a lot of people do. We'll get to him. And, of course, the turnovers, starting with Ramondre Stevenson, brutal for the Patriots yesterday. Reminder, football talk on WEEI presented by Paramount+. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. You can watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. What do you do with Ramondre, Keith?
So I don't play him next week. I don't cut him. I think that'd be too far because you just saw what he did in week two. So I don't want to ignore how good he was and what we were saying about him last Monday at this time. So I'm keeping him on the team also because Gibson fumbled and these running backs can drop like flies.
And Trevion Henderson can't pass block and isn't really doing much.
Nobody's playing well in the backfield. That's true. But Ramondre Stevenson entered this year with already sort of like a red flag around him or whatever, being like, all right, we got to keep an eye on this. You need to button this up. You fumbled so many times last year. Did you learn from it? Did you do anything differently? Like, have you protected the ball better? Answer, no. So I'm shocked that he came back in the game. I'm with you. Not that he got the ball, but I am shocked that he came back in the game after two fumbles. So I think the easy thing to do would be you have him practice all week, hopefully he holds on to the ball, but then he's inactive. Just don't play him on Sunday. And depending on how that goes, let's see what Gibson does, what Henderson does, how the weeks of practice do. maybe he's back for the Buffalo game. I don't know. But I think that's the easiest thing. You send a big, clear message. That's what I would do with Ramondre.
Dice says the five turnovers are one thing. It's the two inside the five that are really frustrating.
I mean, it's so true. I mean, those are so bad because, first of all, the Ramondre one, like he's like going in. Like that was about to be
that's
7 points.
Score.
That's
yeah.
7 points.
That's a tie game.
Yeah.
Coming out of the half after a turn. Rodgers threw just a horrible, horrible pick. Right to Spillane.
Yeah.
Right and to Spillane. Yeah. The Pats are in business. They're about to cash in, and he fumbles. I mean, that's 7 points you take off the board right there.
Yeah.
Never mind. You were about to go in right before half to cap off a 17-play drive with Drake May, and he gets it tipped and or doesn't read it right and doesn't put enough air under it. And you have those back-to-back. I mean, those were killers. It's the first time since 78 they had two turnovers inside the opponent's five-yard line in the same game. It's the first time since 08 they had five turnovers in a game.
No, it is true because, like, the first fumble that Ramondre had, not to say that, the you know, oh, it's a good turnover. There are no good turnovers. But that one is, you don't really know how that drive was going to turn out. Maybe they score, maybe they punt, maybe whatever. Right. The other two, like, you know, you're like, you're getting minimum 10 points because even if you get stonewalled on that, what ended up being the Drake May interception in the end zone, say you try running it or it's a couple incomplete passes, like, all right, you have the chance to kick a field goal. Yeah. Or
although or with this kicker,
no, or okay, or now Pittsburgh has the ball on their own 5 yard line instead of the 20.
Correct.
Right? So that's another big swing in the game.
So I'm with you on Stevenson. You probably can't cut him, but I certainly would sit him down this week. Mike Vrabel has been asked a number of times about Stevenson and his fumbling since the game concluded yesterday. He was asked about it in the offseason as well, but he spoke yesterday after the game. He talked today with the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of that, use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Vrabel also concluded speaking with the media last hour. Here's what he had to say about getting rid of the fumbling issues with Ramondre Stevenson.
After a night to ruminate on things and also watch film, do you have a better idea how you might handle Ramondre Stevenson and the fumbling issue?
Well, we got to continue to practice the crap out of it. We also have to do a better job of protecting said person with the ball, whether that's the quarterback, whether that's the running back, or the receiver. And we're all responsible for the security of the football, and starts with the person who has it, and then it you know, falls on the people that are blocking. And now, again, we'll continue to rep it, and if we have to put two hands on the football, and when we're going through there, that's what we'll have to do. You know, I mean, the only thing I know how to do is to continue to practice it and work it. But then also, you know, maybe it's not so much the person that you see, it's the one you don't see. And there was a few opportunities that we can show them here in a little bit of that. And, yes, the person is responsible for taking care of the football. But again, the other people are also have a critical job in ball security.
So he's gone to that answer a lot this year. Like, it's not just about Ramondre, which, fine, I get it. I mean, you need to keep guys off Ramondre so they're not in there, you know, grabbing at it, trying to pull the football out. Like, other guys have responsibilities on the play. It feels like he's going way over the top in the excuse making for Ramondre, and that's not the first time he's done it. He's did that in the offseason, too.
Right.
Before Stevenson even started coughing it up in a game, that's been his go-to defense. It's odd.
Yeah, I don't really get it, because it's not like it's the exchange that's getting fumbled. You'd be like, hey, you know, Drake May needs to put it in the right spot or whatever, right? And it's not Will Campbell's problem that Ramondre can't hold on to the ball. Or even if a player misses a block, let's say, and a linebacker is able to sort of chase down Ramondre from the side to kind of poke the ball, still your responsibility. Once you have the ball, your job's to hold on to the ball. It's very simple.
It's weird.
Even Ramondre knows, though.
It's
Ramondre
weird.
Knows. Vrabel doesn't.
So Vrabel said after the game, like, we're going to need him. I'm not sure you do, and I wouldn't give him a uniform this week. I'm with you. You're inactive. Like, they babied him all last year. He was going to get benched for games. He never got benched. Vrabel let him play in the second half after that fumble yesterday. Again, he didn't have a touch, but he was out there for a few snaps in the second half, which was a few too many. So they've already babied him to a degree. It feels like Vrabel's going to baby him even more, and I hate that. Why hasn't Ramondre Stevenson gotten the met? This is something I'll give Bill.
Yeah.
I thought it was crazy when he did it after one touch or one game as a rookie, but Bill would sit these guys down. And I'll give that to Bill. I think he went too far with it in some cases, but I'll give that to him. It's better than The guy fumbles every week, and you keep rolling him out there. So it is now time to sit this guy down.
How much of Stevenson returning to the game had to do with Gibson just fumbled and Henderson can't block anybody?
Probably some of it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I wonder if Vrabel even said, all right, we're done with Stevenson. And then Josh was like, okay.
I think
and then you see these other guys out there, and he's like, all right, I guess put him back out there and block or something.
I think the message is stronger. I mean, Gibson has had a lot of fumbling issues in his career going back to Washington, but here, he had the one yesterday. He still had half as many as Stevenson yesterday.
Yeah, right.
So I wouldn't, like, sit Gibson down. He had a fumble. And
yeah, clearly you're giving everybody two.
I wouldn't sit Henderson down. Like that to me, I'd go with those guys this week. And Ramondre, tough. For 1 week, I want to send that message there. Stevenson is saying the right thing. In his defense after the game, Stevenson is saying the right things. This is, again, Ramondre after the game.
Coach Vrabel was in there talking, we need you. Those are his words. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I appreciate it, but I got to hold on the ball for, to have value and, put value on this team. So if I can't hold the ball, they don't need me.
And you can't really say anything better than that.
Bingo.
Yep. That's the right answer. I appreciate the kind words from the coach, but I need to hold on to the ball to have any value.
So
agreed.
On the one hand, they need to win this week.
Yeah.
Because it's Buffalo week 5.
Hard to have the old must-win conversation in September, but this would be it. You put yourself in that spot.
So on the one hand, I do want all hands on deck because it's important to win.
Yeah.
Are you going to sacrifice to send what I think would be a strong message to the room? And I'd send one to Pop Douglas, too. We're going to get back to him.
That's an easier one to send.
That is an easier one to send, I agree, because he's not giving you anything on the field. Lee Stevenson has made some plays in his career last week, even in this game on Sunday when he wasn't fumbling the ball away. He was making some plays, unlike Pop.
Right.
How do you balance those two this week? I would lean in on it's more important to send the message early in the year in September. As much as I want them to win against Carolina on Sunday, I think you can beat Carolina without Ramondre, and I'd rather lean in on sending him to the whole team, not just to Stevenson, but to the whole team. That doesn't fly, especially with a guy with 7 fumbles last year. It doesn't fly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think last year, and I know Vrabel wasn't a part of last year's team, but you have to be aware of what your team or what the players did. Right, like some guys, I think, are going to have a little bit of a longer leash in certain spots than in others because you know what the track record is. And so if you entered this year being like, oh, wow, all of a sudden for this player, ball security is a major issue. So you go in with that. And then game 3, he is one of the reasons why you lose the game.
Yeah.
You're not going to treat it the same as somebody else that maybe had no fumbles.
And also, when Vrabel says we're going to practice the crap out of it, I don't know that I believe that.
Maybe he's going to be like Darnell Jefferson in the program, and he just walks around campus all day long with the ball.
Maybe.
And then if you're in like physics class, they can like bop it out.
Stevenson said after the game, they were asking him what he did for his workouts in the office. He said a heavy ball is what he said.
Maybe lighten the ball.
Do something.
Maybe it's too heavy.
Whatever you're doing, it ain't working.
I don't like that.
But when Vrabel says we're going to continue to practice the crap out of it, I don't believe it.
I have a ton of confidence because it's obviously worked to this point.
You guys were barely in pads.
Yeah.
Barely. So I don't know. Maybe you guys weren't working on it. And I know Stevenson's issues predated you, but I don't believe you've been practicing the crap out of it. I don't believe you're going to continue to practice the crap out of it. I don't really believe that.
No, I don't either. But some of it is, what you're allowed to even do in practices because of the CBA. Like, the two things that they have issues
with. You're allowed
to
be padded up more than they are.
Yeah, true. But how many times do guys get taken to the ground? And I feel like that's part of it. So there's one thing to be like, oh, you run by and somebody like tries to punch the ball out. But sometimes it's also like as you're getting tackled to the ground where it's like that in-between time where that's why they always show the replay. They're like, oh, is this knee down? It's like that time. So just like talking to the team about, oh, you guys stink at tackling. Yeah, we'll practice it. But will you? And it's like you might not. You probably don't. And then so tackling and then holding onto the ball through contact.
But not everybody is as bad at tackling as you are.
Right.
And not everybody is as bad at holding onto the football. So they need to practice it more. Some teams figure out how to practice it a little better than this team seems like they have.
Yes.
So, I mean, Vrabel can say we're going to continue to practice. It doesn't seem like you've been practicing it.
They should start.
I take issue with continue to practice the crap out of it. I'm not sure you have been.
Oh, what a game it was. And I don't mean that in the good way. I mean, oh my God, what a game it was. You heard that. Not one. LeBron, not two, not three. Fast forward. 5 turnovers for your New England Patriots. And yet, they had a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter. They didn't. Spoiler alert, in case you missed it. They did not.
They didn't?
No, they fell on their faces.
They were driving to tie the game up when I tuned out.
Yeah, then Pop Douglas was like, I don't really know what to do on 4th and 2 when you need 2. He's like, should I try to get 7? I'm going to try to make an athletic play.
The word knife has been used by Mike Vrabel many times. As I don't think he's talking about cutting Pop Douglas. He's talking about what he should have done, what you and I talked about yesterday on the Six Rings post-game show. We've seen, I don't know if Pop Douglas has ever seen it. We've seen it as longtime observers, Fitzy and Hart, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Hi.
We had Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Troy Brown, Danny Amendola, all those guys who would just dive forward for the 2 yards you needed.
Get the first down.
He didn't.
What?
They lose. 1-2.
But he was right there. I've seen all of the screen caps on Twitter and Instagram.
It's everywhere.
With the arrows pointing in a million directions. Like, you'll never guess which way he went.
Yeah, your tone is leading there. Yes, Diz.
If only Drake May had told him, Pop, you gotta dive forward.
Drake May, the leader that you want for this football team, taking some of the heat, saying he needs to tell him more, which on every play he should probably have to advise all 10 players, because that's how basic this was. Does he have to tell Bradberry, see, when I say the snap count, you have to throw the ball backwards towards me, try to hit me in the hands. Hey, receivers, when I say the snap count, that's when you guys start running. You don't wait longer than that. You run when I say the snap count.
I got a good one. Hey, Ramondre, hold on to the ball this time.
Okay, now you're piling on. That's
wait
hurtful.
Wait a second. Wait, just he did it, but he did it twice.
Well, 9 times in a year.
That's true.
9 times.
9 times, Mrs. Bueller. 9 times.
It really
times.
Is unbelievable when you sort of enumerate it, just put
no,
it out there
it's
like
not. It's,
9 it's... times Ramondre Stevenson. But, you know, you could turn the ball over to your other veteran running back, Antonio Gibson.
Oops.
Oh, he fumbled. Or you could just keep it in the hands of the quarterback. He fumbled. Quarterback who we'll talk to at 4 o'clock, Drake May, here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk to Marcus Jones before that, hopefully. All these times are a little bit loose, but he'll be in the 3 o'clock hour for Marcus Jones, who had a penalty that I think he kind of got screwed on, and we'll lean into that. But Mike Vrabel seems to think every penalty that's called, the Patriots are getting screwed. He's been a little too accepting of the penalties for my liking.
You were the one, I believe, who said on last week's Six Rings postgame show, following their victory in Miami, and boy, was that a telling victory, and then some. You were the one who said that it was one of the dumbest things you had ever heard a head coach say, that all those penalties are acceptable. And they continue to be one of the most penalized team in the league. Yep. Most of us, be we casual, media, fanboy, whatever, are, I believe, we're taught at an early age penalties are bad in any sport, let alone the game of football.
Yeah, penalties are bad because they usually come with yardage, and yardage matters and all of that. You know, there's a reason everybody kicks the ball short now, because they don't want to give the other team the ball at the 35, because that would be unnecessary free yardage. Penalties are the same thing. And when you get penalized 8, 9, 7, 12 times a game, you're giving them free yards, upwards of 50, 60, 70, or 100 yards of free yardage. So you'll do whatever it takes to avoid giving them the ball in the 35 on a kickoff, because that extra 15 yards is crazy. But you won't do whatever it takes to avoid having penalties and free yardage. All that is up in the air. Pop Douglas is in our crosshairs. Ramondre Stevenson is in everybody's crosshairs. But I'll tell you one guy who's not in my crosshairs. Fitz.
One guy.
One guy.
Okay, who's that guy?
That'll be the quarterback of your New England Patriots and the guest here on WEEI Afternoons. And I'm not saying this because we're going to talk to him. I firmly believe I leave that game yesterday thinking 2 weeks in a row, Drake May played well enough to win. You move the ball up and down the field. And I'm not going to whistle past the graveyard, because you know who else isn't whistling past the graveyard? Drake May. He talked about the bad throw in the end zone. That's got to be up in the air. He immediately, postgame, said, that's got to be over the top. Sounded like a mistake maybe he won't make again as a young quarterback learning on the fly.
That's why do we fall down, to learn to pick ourselves up again.
Then when he fumbles, he said, I was trying to do something stupid there. Lesson learned. Basically, he touched the hot stove and goes, whew, that's hot. Probably won't do that again.
Finger in the socket, but one time.
Drake May, though, 2 weeks in a row, I think has been, A, the best quarterback on the field. I think he was the better quarterback yesterday than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers won, and that's great, and that's his idol, and they hold the ball the same way and all
I mean,
of that.
He got the win, but did he win?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'd rather be the Patriots. I'd rather have Drake May. That's my optimistic takeaway from this game. The Steelers stink. They're old. They're over-leveraged financially. They have Aaron Rodgers. They might actually have to fire a coach, something they haven't done in, I don't know if they've ever done it.
I think they've had 3 head coaches.
In like 100 years.
Yeah.
So I'd much rather be the Patriots. And in an NFL where we're reassessing all the quarterbacks week to week, like,
who's the best quarterback from the 2024 draft class this week?
It is still Jaden Daniels, because whether he plays or not, he's banked some credibility from last year and what he did. The second best? Up for question. If you're watching last night, when I was watching my wife, she's like, hey, who's this Bears quarterback? He's really good. I go, yeah, watch a couple more games. You won't think the same thing if you keep watching him play.
Give him time. He's not always flea flickers, bombs, and haymakers.
But Drake May's in that conversation now because I think he has stacked together two decent games. Now, I am not not everybody agrees with me. There's a lot of haters out there. We took some on the post-game show.
There's still a lot of Drake May doubters out there that think he doesn't have the it factor. The it factor.
I heard
continues.
It on the midday show. Why are we making excuses? Jones and Keefe, why are we making all these
too
excuses?
Too many sacks.
Because they're truth. They are truth. They are not excuses. Excuses are reasons given by losers. What did Drake May do yesterday? He lost.
He did.
So I'm not calling him a loser in the grand sense of the word.
He still only has two wins as a... Yeah. I refuse.
Is he the only one that only has two wins? Or do his coaches also only have those wins?
I refuse to give him the third win for that the week 18 last year, this January in Buffalo.
He didn't finish the game and it was a loss.
Yeah, and people that point out like, oh, Mac Jones has as many wins in San Francisco this year as Drake May has as Patriots starter.
617-779-7937. All afternoon long, we are reacting to the Patriots' loss. Drake May, Pop Douglas, or Drop Douglas, some people call him. Or on that play, some on Twitter are calling him Poop Douglas.
Come on now.
Depending on where you want to go with your emojis. I know Rich Keefe gave him a two poops for that play. And just in general, Pop Douglas, I gave up on you a week ago. But I don't know what you do. I don't know why you and Drake May look like you've never been in the same room together.
Are
never
we
mind,
being
never
too
practiced.
Hard on young DeMario?
No, because okay. We'll play some audio that makes me want to be harder on young DeMario. Because two guys had really glaring problems in that game, I would argue. Pop Douglas and Ramondre Stevenson. The tone of their professionalism and their answers post-game was telling to me. One takes it seriously, one doesn't. One showed up in a car full of buddies on the way. Ah, this is awesome, even though I don't do anything around here.
Like it was the opening
here.
Of Entourage.
And Ramondre Stevenson, who is indeed at a career crossroads.
Uh-oh, we're there already?
I mean, already? He had 7 fumbles last year. Felt like it should have been a crossroads in the offseason.
Lest we forget also, you know what he did in his first game as a professional? Fumbled.
Yeah, he has a fumbling issue.
But if it keeps going, Andy, if I were to come over to your house on like a Thanksgiving dinner, get absolutely...
Were you invited?
Nope. Okay. I just showed up out of the blue. Get absolutely cranked and then vomit on the table. You'd be like, I don't know if I can have you over again. Like, no, I promise it'll never happen again. The next time I come over,
Are you really sorry?
Well, it doesn't matter because now I showed up hammered again and I vomited on the sofa this time.
Did you show up the week before with a 30 rack of Miller Lite and 10 pizzas?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what, in your little analogy here, that's what Ramondre Stevenson did. You don't win the game in Miami without Ramondre Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
You don't lose the game at Gillette Stadium against the Steelers if Ramondre Stevenson's not on the team. You got mad when I said it yesterday, but I said, if Ramondre had never been born, if this
that's
was one of those...
a tough way to look at things.
Different timelines, he was removed from the universe.
And now we're going like full-blown Marvel comic,
you're 2-1.
Comic universe?
You're the 2-1 Patriots.
But everything's different if he's not here.
Yeah, but you're 2-1.
Come on, let's not be so drastic.
Or you're not, because maybe you lost last week, and I think you probably would. So that's just the reality. And I know everybody seems to have Ramondre Stevenson in their crosshairs. They want him gone. Get rid of him. Bench him. Can't play. Cut him.
Is
get rid
he
of
really
him.
The only reason you lost yesterday?
Not the only reason, but the biggest.
Yes.
He's the biggest reason you lost. My counter-argument is...
Cost you 14 points.
Who are you playing? Who are you playing? You're going to play Travion Henderson, who everybody pretends stinks at pass protection? You know what else he stinks at? Gaining yardage based on yesterday.
Yeah, it was 11...
2 yards a carry?
11 carries for... Well, 2.5.
Yeah. Is that all that matters?
Yeah, that, are you kidding me?
I guess if he's consistent,
you've lived
and you give
long
it to him
enough
four
to know
times,
every inch matters.
I everybody has told me he's going to be a superstar, and I liked his preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that in the regular season?
I haven't.
Okay.
What's going on?
So you want Antonio Gibson to carry the ball maybe 15 or 20 times?
No, he's not built for that.
Okay, so who are you going to play? All you people that want to run Ramondre out of town.
They're going to get discount Ben Jarvis off the practice squad. Get ready next week for Panthers at Patriots. Ball handed to Terrell Jennings.
Oh, so we want Terrell Jennings in there.
Well, I didn't say want.
Is that your... You need Ramondre Stevenson. You know who said that first, and I totally agree with him?
Was it the coach?
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
He didn't say I want Ramondre Stevenson, did he?
No, it was I kind of need
I
Ramondre
need.
Stevenson.
There's a difference between a need and a want. None of us want to see Ramondre Stevenson
you know, it's funny.
With the football.
A lot
they
of guys
to.
Available out there that you could have like traded for. If you needed a backup bulldozer back, you could have gotten Jordan Mason for a song like Minnesota did, who filled in nicely for Aaron Jones. 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's not bad.
Is he available now?
No, he's not.
Because who are you going to get now?
Oh, no, no one now.
Doug Kide put the list out, and I skimmed it. He put it on Twitter, and I wasn't overly impressed. There was nobody that I was like, okay, you can get rid of Rahmander. You're right. If Ben Jarvis Green Ellis were still available, if this were whatever that was 10 years ago,
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis,
he's the perfect answer because he won't fumble, and he'll get you whatever is blocked for him. Nothing more, nothing less. He'll get you what is blocked for. Mike Vrabel said it last night. You need Rhamondre Stevenson because you don't have another option. Do you want to just throw the ball every play?
You can't do that because then what happens is the defense keys on your passing, and so then they'll get home to the quarterback.
You mean the defense that had 5 sacks yesterday?
Yeah.
How many do you want, 10 next week? I believe that is 0.0.
How are we feeling about the fact that right now the Patriots are on pace to give up 68 sacks this year?
Not great.
That's 4, 3, and 5. I did the math. That's an average of 4 times 17 is 68.
I think I'm in bizarro world, though. You say that, and it leads me to believe, told you guys the line was going to stink. I don't think the line stinks.
That bad, no.
I think the line has been fine. Morgan Moses, I kind of like the pizzazz and leadership he's bringing to the line. He's not great. Will Campbell.
No, T.J. Watt got around him real quick yesterday.
He's T.J. Watt, and Morgan Moses is 117, and he's Morgan Moses. There's no disrespect in that. Will Campbell, there's some highs and lows with his game. Mm-hmm. There were certainly some downs. At times, he looks like a left tackle who's a rookie and is confused. There's no question about that. But in totality, I think the line has been good enough. I mean, you call Garrett Bradbury a revelation. Feels strong at this point in the process.
But he's played better than you expect.
Yes, he hasn't gotten the quarterback killed. He has not ruined the game.
Nope.
I have not had a single game where I said
plays.
He ruined the game.
Nope.
Whereas I can say, Pop Douglas, you ruined the game. I can say, Rhamondre Stevenson, you ruined the game. Defensively, they played their asses off. When we talk to Marcus Jones, that's going to be one of the questions. When the offense turns the ball over 5 times and you play your ass off like that, is it frustrating?
Sure.
He'll say no because he's a good teammate. And that's what they're building down there, apparently, culture and teammates. But I put out a tweet after the game last night, and I truly believe this. I think sometimes people, including my old friend Paul Perillo, who accuses me of positive trolling on Twitter, not the case. I give my real opinions,
That is an interesting dark art, positive trolling. Is that when you couch a criticism in a positive thought, but you're actually just being a dink?
No, it's more that I'm just sort of being a contrarian, giving the positive, knowing that it'll get cultivation of whatever, farming. I mean, apparently a lot of people took it that way. Your boy Robert Alvarez, one of my most hated critics on Twitter.
You guys will not be getting together for a Thanksgiving or
like
a 30 rack anytime
optimism
soon.
From heart or positivity from heart? Yeah, I'm objective. I call it like I see it. And I think it might be my relative low expectations for this team. That
big
is helping
theme yesterday.
Me.
Big theme yesterday on the Six Rings postgame show that I was unaware of. I was generally under the assumption that the majority of Pat's populi were in the 9-10 wins. Hey, we can get back into this with the offseason they've had. Little did I realize there were far more people, lots of callers. You remember the second half of the show, most of the folks were like, I'm not depressed. I'm just a little frustrated. I'm not giving up on this team because my expectations were X amount low heading into the season. And I'm actually very happy to hear that people are taking a more realistic approach as opposed to, I was promised playoffs. Now, you do deserve a better game day presentation. You do deserve to not go get 5 fumbles. You do deserve to pull up to the Razor on a postcard L.L. Bean type of last day of summer, first day of fall, and see a better product. You don't deserve to pull in and spend 12 hours and $1,000 with you and your friends holding season tickets and watch a team hell-bent on beating itself.
Did you deserve to go to 9 Super Bowls?
Yes.
Oh, so that's how it works. You deserve all the crazy positive,
but
not the negatives that, you know, ever hear of pendulums? What do? They swing one way, and they swing back the other way.
Sure.
The pendulum
But why does
swung.
It have to? Does it just because you lack talent, does that mean that you have to, like, be your own worst enemy?
Well,
I
love all these national journalists and commentators
are they really journalists?
That are like, you know, it's crazy. The Patriots have this record of 3-16 at Gillette Stadium. It's unbelievable. Or they say, it's crazy. The Patriots haven't won back-to-back games in 3. Have you watched the Patriots?
Yeah.
They've sucked for 3 years. So why is it crazy when there's a lot of losing statistics? They've been a bad football team. You know how we know that? Their actions tell us that because their record is bad and their owner fired the coach 2 years in a row. That's how bad the football was.
They did that, yeah.
The owner said it was the 2 worst years of his ownership tenure here in New England. That's why you have Mike Vrabel. You feel good about Mike Vrabel? 617-779-7937.
I think he's getting off the hook a little bit here. I think Mike Vrabel, like, We have calls lined up right now. People want to criticize Drake May. We've got calls for, we've had taken and fielded calls about Demario Douglas and Ramondre Stevenson. Where is everybody on Vrabel right now?
They love him. You know why?
Why?
Super Bowl rings.
Because he's not. Because
Super Bowl rings. The nice same veneer. Reason they call in our show and say, "Ted, you're the greatest." Super Bowl rings, memories, glory, the good old days.
Are his Super Dynasty. Bowl? Are his Super Bowl rings going to figure out how to tell Ramondre Stevenson to hold on to the ball?
No, but you also have the faith in him that he slapped around Bill Belichick a few times. He took a Titans team to an AFC title game.
I'm not denying his football intelligence, his IQ, or the people he surrounds himself with. Are you a little disappointed in the start his team has gotten off to?
100%. And I've been disappointed in the way he's handled himself. I've been disappointed in the things he has said. I've been disappointed in pretty much everything to start this season. But that doesn't mean over the long haul you have a problem. That doesn't mean that you're not on trajectory with Drake May and Mike Vrabel and Christian Gonzalez coming back next week and Will Campbell being your left tackle and some of these foundational. Milton Williams, is he playing well?
He is. I wouldn't have minded a little more pressure yesterday.
Agreed. But is he a part of the future?
Sure.
Is Pop Douglas?
I don't know.
He is not. He is not. The answer is no. Okay. Is Ramondre Stevenson?
Probably not.
No, the answer is no.
This is probably his last year in Apache.
The guys that are costing you games are not even a part of the future. Is Alex Austin part of the future? No, he was barely part of the second half. You moved on from him quickly.
He had a super terrible.
Hey, Christian Ellis, part of the future?
What's DJ James up to these days? Do you have his number?
I don't.
Real quick, could I interest you in any of these? As you said, Doug Kide had those names. I've also got a couple other ones. Could I interest you in a gently used Gus Edwards?
Nope.
Perhaps a lightly worn Jamal Williams?
Probably not.
How about Dante Foreman?
I would look into it. I would look into all of these.
Wouldn't you
their
have
health level work
you,
them out?
Wouldn't you offer? Would you buy them all like a coach class ticket to come in for an audition this week?
Absolutely.
Maybe a meal at Davio's just to put like light a fire underneath Ramondre or the rest of these guys. Like I keep hearing midday guys were like, "Oh, you got to bench Ramondre this week on the morning show. You got to set him down this week. Send a message.
What end?
Is that gonna make him fumble less?
So 20 carries for Travion Henderson. So that'll get him 40 yards, or 20 carries for Antonio Gibson. That'll get him killed, and he might have a fumble mixed in there. Because also, you know he fumbled a lot in Washington, right, Antonio Gibson? He was a fumbler.
Yeah,
he was a fumbler in Washington.
Yeah, ball security
was a bit of an issue there. So you replace one fumbler with another fumbler. Dan Ball looks like he's chomping at the bit back there, champing at the bit, looking to chime in with... What do you got? Mr. Negativity, bring it.
Whoa.
Nothing significant. Good afternoon to you both, by the way.
To you as well.
I thought the idea of bringing in running backs for a quasi-kicking competition, but a don't let go of the football competition was an interesting idea because, I mean, the bar is extremely low just to get some kind of quality.
I mean, how in the world is, you know, Zach Moss and Zeke Elliott and remember old pal J.J. Taylor?
Elliott? As in Ezekiel Elliott? Could get him. He looked good a couple years ago.
He was your second leading receiver that year, for God's sake.
Zach Moss did very well filling in for Jonathan Taylor a season ago. I'd give him a look.
All right, you've convinced me. Charter a plane, fly all around the country.
Yep.
Pick up all the waiver wire stiffs
from 2023.
If you've ever played competent level running back in the National Football League, jump on, come to Foxborough. You know, we should probably film it. Instead of Forged in Foxborough, get those Kraft Sports production cameras out there.
Failure in Foxborough.
Redemption in Foxborough.
Fumbled in Foxborough.
Fumbled in Foxborough.
Print the tickets.
Have a reality show. Whoever wins the reality competition is your next running back of the New England Patriots.
Until Ramondre can figure out how not to fumble the football, then you know what?
Do you think that's going to happen?
Royce Freeman and Cordarrelle Patterson, come on down.
I don't mean to be Mr. Negative. I was optimistic for like 20 minutes, so I started to itch a little. But Ramondre is not going to learn to not fumble. Do you think he didn't take it seriously last year?
Well, hold on. I've mentioned this before as well. Tiki Barber used to be one of the most notorious fumblers in the NFL, right. And he played for the most hard-ass vibe coach
over
of all time.
Over how many years?
For several.
Yeah.
And then, year seven, they taught him how to hold the ball differently.
You don't think
didn't
he's
fumble
tried that?
The rest of the way. What? No, how about Ramondre looks to be loaf of breading it by his right side the same damn way over and over again.
If you're expecting Ramondre to suddenly not fumble, I think you haven't been paying attention. There's no chance of that.
Then you know what? Miles Gaskin, come on down.
You remember the season ticket holder practice? What happened?
Oh, he fumbled. Ball on the carpet.
Like, he's going to fumble. You need to find a replacement.
Then how many are acceptable? The answer should be zero.
Until you have a replacement. Again, if you don't have an option, then you got to put him back out there. That's on you building a team without an option. I told you he should have been on life support in August.
Curran actually on this very program went back and forth about could he be a surprise cut candidate. Yeah. Then you saw his talent on full display at its best last week in Miami.
Yep.
Then you saw his inadequacies or his issues at their worst yesterday, and it cost you a damn game. You should have won by 17.
617-779-7937. We see your phone calls lining up. Patriots lose 21-14, five turnovers, four fumbles, two for Ramondre Stevenson. Everybody wants to run Ramondre out of town. I want to run Pop out of town because he has no football IQ or awareness.
I'll say, tough way to go into halftime. Long drive, 17 plays, 92 yards to come out of that with nothing. Tough way to go about it. One of five turnovers for the Patriots in their 21-14 loss yesterday at Gillette against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is a Patriots Monday, Hour 2, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll take you through Week 3 of the NFL with what happened coming up less than a half an hour from now. But we're joined every Patriots Monday by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices every day tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy most, and by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Hunter Henry, how we doing this week?
Hey, guys.
You get dinged up in the game yesterday. How are you feeling today?
I'm okay.
Is it the kind of thing that could impact your practice schedule at all this week?
You just take it day by day, man.
You know, obviously not the result you guys wanted, but is there any part of you that is at least satisfied in the performance that you had? Eight catches, 90 yards, couple of touchdowns?
No, I'm not at all.
You're moving up the tight end record charts. You only trail Gronk and Ben Coates in receptions. Does that mean anything?
It's always, good to be honored and mentioned in the same name as those guys. And we're so successful in this franchise, and I've done so many good things in this profession, man. So definitely an honor to be just in the same name, breath as those guys.
Curious, are there times where you need to adjust a route? For example, if it's fourth down for you and your normal route would be like a 5-yard route, but it's fourth and six, do you take it to 6 yards on that route, or are you still running five and then hoping to pick it up afterwards?
It just depends on the concept, man. So sometimes there's a little bit more freedom in a concept, and there's sometimes freedom in a concept where you can do that, and sometimes there's not.
So sticking with that for a minute, there is a play that's designed short of the sticks. What's your mindset and your checklist kind of going in to a big play like that?
You got to find a way to get the first down at all costs, basically. But sometimes, it's just maybe you're trying to draw a guy in so you can hit a ball behind them and just different things like that. So it just depends on the concept.
As one of the leaders on offense, anytime a guy, fumbles or turns it over, do you go up and say anything to them afterwards? Obviously, they know they screwed up, and obviously they're upset with themselves. Do you say anything to Ramondre or to Gibson, or do you just sort of like let those guys deal with it?
I'm going to let them deal with it for a little. They know, what happened. It's the same thing sometimes that maybe if you drop a ball, you dropped the ball. Sometimes you don't need to be reminded of it over and over and over again. More just positive reinforcement, because that's a guy we need and has made a lot of plays for us. And so you just kind of try to lift him up and just, try to keep going.
We don't want to pile on, but it is now 2 years in a row. We've been talking to you on this show about Ramondre and the fumbles, and it was a constant talking point last year. He seemed to be taking it particularly hard after the game. Like he said, if I can't hold on to the football, they don't need to keep me. It sounds like you're standing by him, Vrabel's standing by him, everybody's standing by him. But is there a line where it's just you can only take so many of these fumbles?
Yeah, he knows. He knows that. That's all our livelihood is that ball. So obviously, he said that after the game, and he means it. He takes a lot of pride in this game and what he does, puts a lot of work in. We have a lot of faith in him, and he's made a ton of plays for us too. So you can look at all the bad stuff, but the amount of good plays he's made for us too, we've needed him.
You guys went up against TJ Watt, one of the best pass rushers in the league, and a pretty good defensive front for the Steelers. How do you feel like you held up against those guys?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously made some plays, and we could have been better, maybe just helping out the tackles, blocking a little bit better. There's a lot of improvement, man. We've got to improve fast. Just wasn't good enough.
I know you probably face former teammates all the time, almost on a weekly basis, but was it any different facing Jabril Peppers this week, considering he was on the team just really not that long ago?
I don't think it was anything like different. I mean, he's a great player, and so, I mean, you just have to be ready to go. And he was flying around and ready to play, and obviously was ready to play against us for sure.
Okay, last week we got a win with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week. This week, I know it wasn't a win, but a very good individual performance for you, Hunter, so let's stick with that this week.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown! Whoa!
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise!
Surprise, motherfucker!
Surprise. We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, once again, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1 not surprised at all. Hunter Henry, how surprised were you when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the 2022 Oscars?
Probably 85.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Wow, we broke it. The scale, Hunter.
I would agree.
Wow. I'm with you. That one, I was not.
That was wild.
I was not ready for that. Yep. Much more shocking than the end of The Sixth Sense or Destiny's Child or anything breaking up. All right. Well, Hunter Henry, we appreciate you being a good sport, joining us every Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Hunter Henry.
Thank you.
Joining us here every Patriots Monday. 85.
85. I mean, that was very surprising. I was watching live, Bragg, and I was like kind of like nodding off because it's the Oscars. I'm like, well, every year I watch it, I'm like, why do I watch it? It's kind of boring. And then you hear him screaming at Chris Rock you first hear him like off mic screaming. You're like, that can't be part of it.
Well, you're like, this is, I initially thought staged. Like,
keep
I'm like,
my wife's name out your No!
I'm like, well, he's a very good actor. They're he's about to be named the best actor, actually, very soon. So there could be a bit. And then, no, it was not. Yeah, that was wild.
I can't believe he answered 85.
85.
I didn't know that anything even mildly surprised me.
It. Never mind. Well, 85.
Well, he also...
Are you surprised he answered it next?
Yes, 85.
86. But there was a slight little chuckle in there, Keith.
He didn't hate it.
He didn't hate it.
He takes losses hard. He's pissed.
I don't think he loves us. He definitely doesn't love losing.
No.
But I think he's starting to warm up a little bit to the surprise question of the week.
He has to be at least a little interested in what the question's going to be.
Yeah.
He has to at least think, like, what are these idiots going to ask
me? No. Every time he gets handed the phone on Monday, that has to cross his mind and go, what
is this going to be? What on earth is this going to be? Just a little bit.
What are these dumbasses asking this week? All right, well, again,
found an 85.
I hate to pat ourselves on the back, but week one of the surprise question, they got a win.
Yeah.
Week two, Hunter Henry had a great performance. We'll see what happens in week three of the surprise question of the week. Not necessarily week three of the NFL season. That'll be week four.
A good bit would have been if he just deadpanned every time, 85.
Yeah.
85.
Yeah. We might be there.
85.
He may.
If I keep answering 85, they'll stop asking.
They will eventually stop asking.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, then we should go with stuff that's just not very surprising. Yeah. If he starts doing that to us, Keith, we'll just outflank him the other way.
But he was one of the he really
like
was.
You guys lost again at home. That's not surprising, right? One?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's a one. Yeah.
A one. You guys lost once again.
Okay.
Another loss.
Okay.
But he was one of the bright spots of the team.
Look, he was great.
He was the passing offense.
I was surprised Pittsburgh decided not to cover him in the end zone on the second one, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But real good game for him. He is third all-time. The only tight ends who have more career receptions as a New England Patriot, Ben Coates and Rob Gronkowski. That's it. That's the whole list. He passed Marv Cook yesterday for receptions. So he's moving up on the touchdown.
No, for touchdowns, he's still behind. For touchdowns.
No, these are receptions.
Oh, you're talking about receptions.
No, for touchdowns, he's further down the list. But overall.
But fourth.
Overall receptions, that's where he's at.
He passed Ben Watson for touchdowns, so it's just Gronk, Coates, and Russ Francis that he's chasing down for touchdowns.
How about that?
Yeah.
So we were talking about the pick by Drake May yesterday, which is awful. And a lot of people were giving him excuses in general yesterday, but specifically excuses for the ball getting batted down, like what, the O-line should do a better job on Hayward or whatever. Like, I don't know.
No, that's on him.
The quarterback cannot turn that over. Never mind the fumble after that. We gave him a lot of praise last week for not turning it over. And I'm not naive enough to expect you to never turn it over, but maybe going into the end zone, you shouldn't do that. And maybe you shouldn't be coughing up fumbles left and right like you have. He's lucky he didn't fumble, or he did fumble, but didn't lose a fumble in week one against the Raiders, who, by the way, stunk it up again. I don't know if you noticed that, but the Raiders stunk it up again this weekend.
Although, was it Trey Tucker?
Trey Tucker
had a nice game.
Yeah, I think you'll be hearing from him in the grab bag tomorrow.
Oh, really?
I would imagine you'll be hearing from him in the grab bag tomorrow.
Yeah, he's quite good.
How you feeling about Drake May after the game yesterday?
I got a little bit of pushback on this. Oh. And so on Twitter, at Keith21, it's a free follow. It's a good time. I did my, after a loss, my Patriots three turds of the game.
I saw this.
So it's basically, it's hockey's three stars, but what I did was I flipped it.
Yeah.
And it's the three turds of the game.
Yeah, the poop emojis.
Yeah, you do poop emojis.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, you do poop emojis. Yeah. And so the three is the most. That's like the best, also the worst in this scale.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be so the one poop. You'd rather be
see, that's what confused
three poop,
me
or do
most.
I have it backwards?
No, three poops the most poop. So that would be the what you do not want to be.
I read it the same way as Jones.
Yeah, me and Nick had that wrong, man. Okay, sorry.
Did I screw this up? Maybe I did.
No,
it's my scale.
I'll be honest, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but that's what I thought, yeah.
If you think about it, because if the stars is inversed, it's the opposite of stars. So wouldn't the order also be the opposite?
Well, yeah, that's sound logic, yeah.
So See, thank you, Terp. So that's very easy to read. So the Patriots, three turds of the game. Three turds goes to Ramondre Stevenson. Two turds, Pop Douglas. One turd, Drake May. People lost their minds. They're like, Keith, you're not a ball knower, is what a lot of people said. You don't know
touch
ball.
Grass.
You don't know ball. Yeah. Root for another team.
Yeah. Oh.
Is what some said.
Eeks.
Don't be a Pats fan, they told me.
Yeah.
So Drake May played overall a good game. There was a lot of good in Drake May's game. The interception in the end zone is brutal, and I do put it on him. So maybe people out there, we disagree. Oh, the ball got batted. What do you want him to do? I don't know. Throw it over that guy to the back pylon.
Yeah, don't throw it into someone's big, giant mitt.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe throw a touchdown pass there. So I didn't like that. He also fumbled. Right. So everybody hates Ramondre Stevenson for fumbling. Drake May also fumbled. So Drake May did have two of the five turnovers. So that was a pretty big factor. I don't really blame him for the Pop Douglas. The Pop Douglas play at the end is a Pop Douglas issue. Maybe McDaniels. Maybe, like, could there have been somebody else you could have thrown to? Maybe not. But I'm going to go more on the fumble and on the interception. There was just a couple of other throws that he missed a little bit. So I was more saying the big plays that he had bad sort of
outweighed everything else.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
So that's why I put him on there. So, overall, I thought he had a fine game, but it was just, man, those were brutal.
I saw a lot of this on social media after the game while they were telling you to switch allegiances, Keith,
they
and everything else.
They said, Keith, you don't know what you're talking about.
It's like Drake May is the least of their concerns. Well,
they don't know what the f*** they're doing.
That's what everybody said. That's what everybody said to me.
I may kind of agree with that. Drake May is down my overall list of concerns. But let me rephrase the question. Do you think he played well yesterday?
I kind of, for stretches, yes.
Okay, for stretches.
Yeah.
Fine, yeah, he flashed.
Yeah.
But the turnovers were killers. You scored 14 points.
Yep.
And it wasn't good enough. It just, what he did yesterday wasn't good enough.
We don't know what would have happened if Ramondre holds on to the ball twice. Well, one of them we do. One of them would have been a touchdown. We don't know what would have happened on that drive in the other time. Mm. And same with Gibson. Right? Like, I think they punted once. So the quarterback of a team where you punt once, pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? But now some of it was self-inflicted.
Yeah,
some
right.
of it was your.
Some of the reasons you didn't punt is because you threw it to the other team. Yeah,
yeah, but like your running backs fumbled three times and Pop Douglas doesn't know where to line up. That hurts the quarterback. I can't blame the quarterback for those four things. But overall, like a backbreaking pick in the end zone, I outweigh that. If you throw a pick at midfield, that sucks. You live to play another day.
He's lucky he didn't throw another pick because he had one
so
that got dropped.
One. So bring that up too. I mean, he got away with it, so there was that. But no, I thought he was better than he was week one, not as good as he was week two. And I'll take it overall. I think there was some good in there, but we were hyping him up and saying how great he was in week two. Because there were no turnovers was one of the main reasons. And then for this game, for you to be a part of that, then, yeah, that's why I had him as the one turd.
Any reason? Text line, by the way, is backing you up
they
on
get
your,
it.
On your
yeah,
scale.
Yeah, three turds is the most.
We did stumble on a good name in the Twitch chat, by the way.
Four?
Terp after Celtics games could do Terps turds.
Terps turds.
Terps turds.
After a loss.
Yeah, or maybe when we do Pure Hoops every Wednesday, Terps turd of the week.
Terps turds. Yeah,
it's not bad. That's a good.
It's pretty good.
Hat tip to the Twitch chat.
All right.
Was Drake May his
what did you think? Do you think he was good? Or bad or in the middle?
I said overall, I he's probably down my list of overall concerns on the team. Yesterday was not good enough for me. So more bad than good.
Maybe
is how
we expect
I would
more out of him.
Yeah.
Is another way of looking at
That's
it.
True.
Maybe everybody else is like, I just need like nothing average regular play.
Now, this is not to make an excuse for Drake May, because the league should have flagged this. I mean, he should have been in the blue tent after he smashed his head off the ground. But that happened two plays prior to the interception. This is Drake May being asked about any fogginess after he crashed his head off the ground. Here's what he had to say.
If I could follow up on that play, two plays prior to that, you got hit pretty hard. The back of your helmet slammed against the turf. And I just wanted to ask, were you surprised not to get evaluated? Did you have any thought of coming out? Were you in pain? And do you think it affected the any of the decisions on the interception?
No, you know, I wouldn't. Shoot, I felt good. You know, I learned from last year. If you get, you know, banged up, you got to get back up quick, or they'll spot you. So, no, I felt fine, and, you know, feel good now. So, there's two good players that try to get after the quarterback. That happens.
Shoot.
Yeah, he got a conky.
So
that's what that sounds like.
I mean, he comes out and says, yeah, I learned last year, you better get up quick.
No.
Or else they're going to flag you. So
yeah.
I think that answered everything for us right there.
Oh, yeah, he got something. I mean, I don't know if you would rule it as an official concussion or not or whatever, but, like, that definitely rattled him a little bit. But, like, most football players, I would say, sort of the wherewithal, be like, all right, I'll get up so I can keep playing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to take me out, and then I do have to go in the blue tag.
Okay,
but it's funny that he even said that.
Yeah, out loud.
Which also may lead you to believe he's still a little concussed. A
little foggy.
Yeah.
So he might have been foggy on that play. That's not an excuse for going out and throwing a pick. But he might have been foggy on that play because it happened, again, two plays before. 617-779-7937. Justin is in D.C., wants to take us to task here. Keith, go ahead, Justin.
All right.
Yeah, gentlemen, I just got to ask, have you guys ever been right on any sports take? And it's not just the Craig Breslow's a good CBO and the reason why they're going to miss the playoffs this year, but it's your Patriots takes.
Justin,
you guys
Justin,
told us they
Justin,
were going to win.
Just real quick,
so you have the Sox as missing the playoffs,
so Justin,
so we're clear?
If they make the playoffs, what? Then we're right or wrong? I'm confused. If they make the playoffs.
I think if they make the playoffs, then you're right with whatever you say about
that. Okay, we agree. Well, then let's put a pin in that take until next week.
I was right about Michael Phelps, by the way.
What was that?
I was like, he's going to win a ton of gold medals.
I was right about George.
Well,
I was right about George Pickens at my anytime touchdown this weekend.
Yeah.
Justin, what's your point on the Pats?
Well, I think there's four quick points. They're not going to win 9 or 10 games, like you said.
Well, that might
be true. Mike Vrabel's a worse coach than Gerard Mayo. He's certainly not better than Dan Quinn or top 15 coaches in the NFL. Their penalties and repeat mistakes are atrocious.
Yep.
The defense is not top 10. It's bottom 5. They have nothing that is good on this defense except for maybe two interior linemen. And then Drake maybe. The most important thing is turning the ball over, and the guy is a turnover machine. It's like he's at a charity event, and he's trying to give away the football.
Yeah, so I actually agree with most of his takes in there.
Yeah, no, he's kind of coming at us. I don't agree with him on the Mayo thing.
No, no.
Like, if Mayo was such a good coach, he'd be somewhere.
Vrabel's better than Mayo.
Yeah.
I do believe that. But Vrabel, so far through 3 games, has been terrible.
No, Vrabel's not been good.
And
I'll give him that.
The penalties, we started talking about this week 1. I'm like, are they even any different than Mayo's team last year?
Yeah.
So I don't know, Justin, you kind of sound like us a couple of weeks ago on this show, mm-hmm. if we're never right about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I hated Vrabel's messaging last week. Like, penalties aren't a big deal.
Yeah, they kind of are.
And then
then
they come out and commit a bazillion penalties to start the game.
Yeah.
Like, that starts with the head coach and what he has to say. He's probably closer to Mayo than we thought. I'll meet you there. I think he's better than Mayo. But so far, he's been a lot closer to Mayo than I ever would have thought.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, they're 1-2, and their defense, bottom 5 might be a little strong, but the defense hasn't been that good.
It ain't top 10.
They need Gonzo back, that's for sure. They desperately missed him.
Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. Find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, look for the new lower prices everyday tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy the most. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, guys. I know that this morning's got to be a pretty difficult morning, because when you look at this game yesterday, I mean, the Patriots basically dominated this game from start to finish, except for 5 turnovers. And I'm sure Mike Vrabel is going to have a talking to the fellas this morning, because, I mean, this was one that they handed to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, tough to win when you give them the ball five times, and the first time that that has happened here since 2008. And I would imagine that when we when you look back at it, if you're Mike Vrabel, that's one that got away from you.
You're sick of your stomach. I mean, you gave up 203 yards. The Steelers only ran 49 offensive plays. They were barely on the field. And if I had to evaluate Drake May, I would give him probably a B-minus. If he doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't throw an interception in the end zone, it's probably going to be an A. I mean, there are a couple things that he's just got to clean up. He's getting close. And you could see that he has all the physical ability to do this. And it's the decision-making. It's sometimes the hesitation. It's the little things that really separate the great players from the good players. And watching this yesterday and just watching a couple moments in these games where all of a sudden the ball was either on the ground or it was in the other team's hands, you're saying to yourself, you clean that mess up, you are right there. I'm not saying with the best teams in the league, but you're certainly there in the top 15 teams in the league.
Ramondre Stevenson led the league last year when it came to fumbles by a running back. Can you keep giving him the football with any kind of confidence whatsoever?
I know they're trying to say that they desperately need him because when he is running and he's running at the top of his game, he's a very good running back, but the fumbles are the things that are going to cost him. And, you know, if Mike Vrabel is anything like Bill Belichick, Ramondre Stevenson's probably not going to see the ball for 2 weeks, I would think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but that, you know, that was the way that Bill, put it into the heads of the players that he's not going to be, standing for fumbles and turnovers, especially when you're going into the end zone. I mean, there are fumbles and there are turnovers, and then there are really backbreaking killer turnovers, and the Patriots had three of those yesterday, at least three of those.
Boomer, you talk about Drake May doing the little things. You were there. You were in that position. When does a young player start to realize, here's what I need to do? When does that switch kind of go on where they don't make those mistakes?
You know, it's different for all of us, and for me, it wasn't until the middle of my second year. But, by that time I was, and the game was different back then, too. I mean, significantly different. Everything is so built around the turnover now and, being a high percentage passer, managing the pocket right. Not thinking that every play is the last play. You got to live to play the next play without making a mistake. So, I mean, this is Josh McDaniels. This is what he has to ingrain into Drake May, that when they sit down today, they watch the tape, they're going to be talking about two of these turnovers. The fumble and in the pocket is one that, it's taken too long. Like, you got to process. You either have a play, you can either take off with it or you got to get rid of it. And not everybody's Patrick Mahomes, and maybe one day he'll turn into Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. But I will say there's enough there that I see that he can be a really, really top end player in this league. He's just got to start evaluating things a little bit quicker. I mean, he had a really good game in terms of pass, percentages or completion percentage. It's just the two turnovers that ultimately end up doing them in. So I would say he's close, Jermaine. I just think that, younger players sometimes just think that the play has to be made. And when Tom Brady was at the top of his game, Peyton Manning at the top of his game, Aaron Rodgers at the top of his game in this generation, they knew that they could live to play another down. And Drake is just not there yet. He's still trying to create too many plays, and making those too many plays are leading to the turnover.
Good time to get this week's Drake Take from Boomer, which is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. He, post-game, he put the Pop Douglas mistake on himself, saying that he wished he had reminded those guys in the huddle that you gotta catch and get upfield. I mean, that's leadership, I guess, but it's not on him.
It's not on him at all. No, that's on Douglas 100%. And I understand what Drake's doing. He's just trying to take a little pressure off of his teammate. And it's one play, but it's a significant play in the game. And, that's football awareness. That's football IQ. That's understanding where you are in the game and what the responsibilities are for you if the ball is thrown to you. Now, I know some fans like to say, why don't they go past the sticks and then you throw it past the sticks, and then it would be an automatic first down. That's not how plays are designed unless you change that play in the huddle for a specific reason. Most plays are designed like you practice them all the time. And then if you get the ball to the player quickly, let's say you get it to Ramondre Stevenson behind the line of scrimmage, and it's third and five. It's up to Ramondre Stevenson to break a tackle or to make somebody miss, because I'm reading downfield as a quarterback and my guys downfield aren't open, so I have to drop it off to my second or third receiver. And then that guy's got to go make a play. And on this particular play, Douglas, it was almost like he forgot where they were in the game, what he needed to get. And that's the frustrating part for the coach, because you're thinking that these players have the awareness to go ahead and make a play like that.
Boomer, one part of Drake May's game yesterday that had me excited, that has me feeling like he could be the guy here for the long term, is that he doesn't seem to have a binky. He doesn't go to one guy specifically. He spreads the wealth. Is that something that is very impressive when you look at a guy who's still pretty young in his career?
Yeah, when I think about Tom Brady, when he was playing at the top of his game, he got a lot of guys involved. I mean, I know Hunter Henry seems to be his favorite, but when you start looking through the pass receiving yesterday, you could see that there's like eight guys that are involved. And that's a part of Josh McDaniels' offense, too. I mean, you'd like to have your bell cow wide receiver that's going to be the guy that's going to go 80 yards anytime he touches the ball. I don't necessarily know that the Patriots have that, but at least Drake is a high percentage passer. He's a guy that's reading defenses. That's what that shows you. It's just that he's still kind of like trying to make the great play every play. And that's something you don't want to take away from a player, but hopefully the more he plays, the more he gets comfortable, the less likely he is to force that turnover the way he did yesterday.
Boomer, you mentioned Tom Brady. We played your sound last week when you reacted to the viral clip of Tom Brady wearing the headset in the Vegas Raiders coach's box. Why is it, I'm just curious, how is this going to lead to a massive competitive imbalance if players know that when they're talking to Tom Brady, it could get to the Raiders, so maybe they'll just say nothing in those meetings?
You know why? Because information's valuable in the NFL, and it leads to victories. This is why there was Spygate. This is why, you know, there are all these coaches are paranoid all throughout the league. Because they don't want anybody to know anything about their roster. They don't want to know if Caleb Williams is dealing with a knee. They don't want to know if they don't want anybody to know that. It's interesting because Tom did the Bears yesterday, and now, you know, his Raiders get to play the Bears. So it's almost like he's an advanced scout. I mean, there are things that, you know, he's probably heard through the production meetings of other people talking to Ben Johnson, other people talking to Caleb Williams. It really is a conflict of interest. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And
he was all over you this week on this take, Boomer.
That's fine. I mean, like, we're all out to have an opinion about this, but I know.
I wasn't the only one, Boomer. Curtis said you were jealous of Brady, so I got to be honest.
He said that's what drove it, was the jealousy.
Hey, for 20 years, I sat here and told you he was the greatest quarterback who's ever played the game, and I had nothing but respect for him, and I had to say that last week before I tore into the conflict of interest part of it. And, you know, in this day and age, everybody cuts things in half. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, for me, I don't see how the other 31 owners, coaches, and general managers, and knowing the paranoia that is within the NFL, how that isn't a thing within the NFL. It is. It's all there is to it. So, they're going to let him do it. I mean, I understand that because he's Tom Brady and he can do whatever he wants. But there's no doubt that in the eyes of many in this league, information is knowledge. Knowledge is a competitive advantage. And he has intimate information on the teams that he's covering. And he's also working with a team. And supposedly, and Pete Carroll dialed this back a little bit, you know, he's talking to Chip Kelly 3-4 times a week. You know, he's talking to, you know, Pete. He's talking to Spytek, his buddy, his college roommate, who's the GM there. I mean, come on. I mean, it's obvious.
All right. Question of the week for Boomer is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Speaking of guys who used to play the position here, Mac Jones just keeps winning football games.
Yeah, you know, I guess Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, I should say Mike Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan is the quarterback whisperer. I mean, he did throw a bad interception late in this game yesterday that I thought was going to cost the 49ers the game. And I was like, oh my God, there's the Mac Jones that we saw in New England. But to his credit, you know, playing with a sprained PCL, by the way, he ended up leading them back to a victory. Now, that's two victories that he's led the 49ers to as their backup quarterback, which you couldn't ask for more if you are Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. You know, I think about these backup quarterbacks that are playing right now, and you gotta think that he is right there at the top of the food chain when it comes to a guy that it seems like Kyle Shanahan trusts. So the other big story really is Daniel Jones and his performance. Mm. And then, especially when you put it in contrast to what the New York Giants did last night against Kansas City. I mean, Brian Daboll is under a massive fire here. The fans want Jackson Dart. I don't know what he's going to do. It's probably the last card he has left to play before, you know, ownership starts talking about, you know, who's going to be running this team next year. So they're really at a crossroads right now down here in New York.
There was another near incident of elder abuse last night during that game.
Yes.
Travis Kelce all over Andy Reid. Can he leave the guy alone?
Yeah, I don't know what Travis is doing. I mean, you know, he's towards the end of his career. You know, he's pulling a trailer around like Jermaine was when Jermaine was at the end of his career.
I pulled the trailer really early in my slow. Career, too. That wasn't very fast.
I don't know. Andy has a way of kind of diffusing all of that. And after the game last night, he goes, that's just Travis. He's all worked up. I don't know if Taylor was at the game or not. You know, Taylor lives literally about a mile from where I'm sitting right now. And I would assume that she was at the game. Maybe she was hiding. I'm not sure. But, you know, maybe he just wanted to have more of a better performance for her if she was in attendance.
Wiggy was here Saturday at Gillette when Bill Parcells was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Where do you rank him all time?
Coach Who's Wells? That?
Bill Parcells.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, he is he's a top 10 coach in the league for me. I think just simply because, you know, he did it with, what, three different franchises, had success, had a unique way of going about the way that he would coach. We'd always have his guys around him that understood his methods. And I think Bill Belichick has tried to, you know, take some of that and do that himself. But I think he was a terrific coach, a terrific motivator, but in short bursts. I mean, it's hard to see a guy like him lasting 10 years in one spot just simply because he's driving everybody into the ground, but nonetheless, still a top 10 coach in my eyes.
All right. Well, Shime has been all over Josh McDaniels this morning when it comes to the offense. Shime, you want to ask Boomer how much of it is on Josh? Or?
Well, yeah, I just look back at week two, and they did a great job of getting Drake out of the pocket, moving him around, and then you see the end of the first half sequence inside the 5-yard line where it's straight drop back on a play-action pass that Drake saves a giant sack loss from with throwing the ball away, and then you get another drop back fade to the back corner of the end zone, which is a bad play call, and then the third pass is a tipped pass at the line of scrimmage when you had three timeouts.
Yeah, well, maybe they don't trust their running backs because they fumble a goddamn ball too much. How about that? Yeah, you ever think about that? Like, you know, you're standing there on the sideline, you're Josh McDaniels, and you're like, the damn running backs keep fumbling the freaking ball.
To that point, though, the running backs hadn't fumbled at least, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, maybe they saw it in the future. I don't know. But I understand your frustrations that, you know, those three plays in particular, especially ending with an interception. By the way, that ball was tipped. I will say that. But what I didn't like about that particular play is I don't think Drake threw it in the right spot. He needed to throw it in the back corner as opposed to try to drive it to his wide receiver or his tight end, I think it was.
Right.
But you got to throw it back in the corner over the top of everybody, and this way the ball wouldn't have gotten tipped to the line of scrimmage. That should have been a touchdown. He had a wide open wide receiver. He just threw the wrong type of pass.
Boomer, you would be the best person to ask this. Do you get better in terms of pocket presence as your career goes on, or is that sort of something intuitively you should have when you arrive in the NFL?
I think it gets better as you go on, especially if your offensive line is getting better with you. If you're completely under siege, and the player that I would say who is under siege right now is CJ Stroud. Like, CJ Stroud's getting hit left and right all over the place. And, you know, people say, oh, CJ Stroud's regressing. And I would agree with that to a certain point, but when you look at the inexperience on his offensive line, he's under fire So he's naturally going to be thinking that there's going to be pressure coming throughout the game. But in the case of Drake, I really think that I see the I see the poise that's required. I see that. What I see is a guy that wants to make a play and not live to play another down. And you just, it's a kind of fine line. I kind of feel like Drake's getting there. I feel like he's showing enough that I think they got to be pretty confident in who he is as a player. And I'm sure when he goes to work today, he probably got no sleep last night because all he was thinking about was the interception and the fumble. And if that's the case, then you got the right guy playing quarterback.
Boomer, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, I look forward to it, guys. Have a good week.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Patriots drop week 3 to the Steelers. 21-14 was the final thanks to 5 New England turnovers. Drake Bay completed 28 of 37 passes for 268 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception in the loss. The Red Sox dropped their final with the Rays, just missing the clean sweep. Yesterday's final from Tampa Bay, 7-3. Connelly early went 4 innings, giving up 2 runs on 3 hits while striking out 4. Alex Cora talked about not capitalizing on bases loaded situations. Here's that from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
It's always tough, you know, like I always said, you know, and I truly believe now the line was moving, you know, like there were some tremendous at-bats, you know, the guys using the whole field, but then, you know, we didn't put the ball in play, right? So it was one of those tough nights that, you know, you felt like you were right in the game, but it didn't happen. Now we're prepared for the next one.
How many guys have they stranded this season, Curtis? It's got to be at the very top when it comes to numbers.
I saw a stat over the weekend. I don't have the exact number, but they have the worst batting average in the history of Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position. Yeah. They're like 120 or something. It's honestly impressive how bad it's been.
Yeah.
You have to try. It's like the Patriots getting receivers.
Well, you deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today. The guys off tonight before kicking off their series with the Blue Jays tomorrow. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and so much more. See full savings claim details at Shaw's.com/lower prices and StarMarket.com/lower prices. Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got your news.
Oh, nailed it.